It is my distinct honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Jim Doyle.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, President Risser and Speaker Sheridan and Speaker Pro Tem Staskunas, to Majority Leader Decker, to Minority Leader Fitzgerald, and to the other Minority Leader Fitzgerald, to Supreme Court Justices, Constitutional Officers, Tribal Leaders, the members of the Cabinet, distinguished guests, to the honored members of the Wisconsin State Legislature, and to all of our fellow citizens of Wisconsin. We meet tonight at a time of great difficulty in this country, which has been felt very deeply in our state, and I know in your hometowns and in your districts. A Wall Street meltdown as a result of 8 years of bad economic policy and too many risky schemes has led to a national economic crisis that we have not seen in decades. Credit has frozen. Markets have plunged. Consumer confidence has hit all-time lows. Retirement accounts have been cut in half. And most importantly, unemployment has soared. Employers big and small have cut back. Even our flagship companies here in Wisconsin, companies that were doing well as recently as August, companies like Harley-Davidson, Kohler, Quadgraphics, GE, have been forced to lay people off. Many more people are living anxiously, uncertain whether they will lose their jobs in the coming weeks and coming months. Wisconsin, the state of our state, like the state of our union, is tough. But the state of our character and the state of our resolve is even tougher. As difficult as the realities are before us, I know who we are. I know we can work together, meet any challenge, and come through stronger than ever. Now, some of you are just taking office, and I congratulate you on your election and welcome you to public service. There were probably easier times you could have come into your new jobs, but tough times are opportunities to show who we are. When I was first elected governor, I inherited a $3.2 billion budget deficit. My own party did not have control of either house of the legislature, which meant, among other things, there were many more people seated through some of these speeches. But in the spirit of Wisconsin cooperation, Democrats and Republicans were able to come together. I was able to work with many of you here to solve our financial challenges. We showed our commitment to Wisconsin's working families. We took on that deficit without raising taxes. We did it without damaging schools or giving up on those who needed medical care. It wasn't easy. Everything had to be on the table for cuts. But we were able to move forward in ways that mattered most for middle-class families. And we went on working together to cut taxes by making health care insurance premiums deductible. We expanded the deductions for tuition and child care payments. We eliminated the tax on Social Security. We held hard limits on property taxes. And we moved Wisconsin off of the list of the top 10 taxing states for the first time in decades. When I stood before you last year at this time, I warned of an uncertain economy. But through most of 2008, even though our country had officially entered a recession, we were doing all right. Not great, but all right. And despite continued bad economic policy from Washington, here in Wisconsin, we were seeing job growth. Our exports were growing to nearly double what they were 6 years ago. Our high-tech economy was really taking off. Agriculture was strong. And in state government, we effectively dealt with the demands of the sluggish national economy. In a bill I signed last spring, I kept the state's commitment to schools, but cut state spending by an additional $270 million. We didn't raise taxes, and I directed more money into the state's reserve funds. If our country's economy had continued on that course, those kinds of steps would have seen us through. We were planning, conservatively, for a slow, sluggish economy to continue. Unfortunately, no one saw how hard this country would be hit in the fall. What the national economy dealt us in September was in many ways unprecedented, and the effects continue to be shocking. We saw leading businesses announce 71,000 jobs cut in the United States and around the world alone on Monday alone. Caterpillar announced 20,000 jobs cut. 8,000 jobs were lost at Sprint and 7,000 at Home Depot. I want to share with you some charts that illustrate the problem we are facing. First, you can see the job losses our country and our state have had. In the last year, the United States has lost about 2.8 million jobs, and the national unemployment rate has gone to 7.1%. Wisconsin's unemployment rate, represented by the lower blue line, it isn't quite as bad, but you can see it is following exactly the same pattern. From December 2007 to December 2008, this state lost 62,600 jobs, and the employment rate went up to 5.8%. The second chart shows what has happened to consumer spending and sales tax revenue. When people lose jobs and lose confidence, spending goes down. In the fall, it happened dramatically, as you can see, that incredible drop. Here's what that means for states across the country. Almost all are facing severe budget gaps. The explanation is pretty simple. Almost all states have to pass balanced budgets. So when people lose their jobs and stop buying things, and the demand for state services goes up, states have deficits. And that is the case almost everywhere. The final chart shows how the state deficit was created by the economic crisis. The first bar shows our projected revenue over the next 2 years if the country had continued on the pace we had been on over the last 5 years. This is the total revenue that the state raises. The second bar shows the conservative or even pessimistic outlook that we used when we did the budget correction in June, the yellow number. And the third bar shows what our revenue projections, after the economic collapse. That revenue projection is actually below our current revenue levels, and many fear that it will get worse. Because of this situation, Wisconsin is facing a budget gap that has been estimated at $5.4 billion, or 17% of our biennial budget. That figure, unfortunately, is going to grow with the latest data. States everywhere are looking at similar pictures, and the responses are dramatic. The deficits are threatening the most essential functions of state government. We see major cuts proposed to education, to health care, to local government services. Washington State has already cut 12,000 people from its basic health care program for low-income adults and is proposing an additional 42% reduction. California is bracing to run out of cash in March, and is considering IOUs to cover its obligations. Can you imagine getting your tax refund and instead of a refund you get an IOU from the state? In Nevada, the governor is asking for a 36% cut to higher education funding. In Utah, they are talking about decreasing the number of school days and laying teachers off. In state after state, the stories are the same. Everyone has tough choices to make. And we have taken many steps in Wisconsin so far to address this crisis, including $500 million in spending cuts over the last year and many more to come. As soon as the magnitude of this deficit became clear, I said everything would be on the table for cuts, and I ordered state government to find savings wherever it could. I halted employee bonuses, put the brakes on grants, and started auctioning 500 vehicles. I am working across state borders and political parties with Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty to make government more efficient and effective. Let me just say, in his State of the State speech, Governor Pawlenty drew quite an unusual picture for this effort that we're making. As he declared, the gopher shall lie down with the badger. That's what he said, not what I said. But but the economic crisis is a problem bigger than any state. Early on, I went to Washington to work with President Obama's team and key members of Congress. It was obvious that without federal help, states would face the choice between massive cuts in education or massive tax increases. Without federal action, states could be left standing in the way of our nation's recovery. This is a national problem, so I started working closely with a bipartisan group of governors across the country to call attention to the unique situation that states are in. We worked to be sure that everyone knew what state governments must do. Most of our budgets go toward education, health care, and basic needs like police and fire protection. They pay for jobs at nursing homes, schools, and police departments. Washington recognized what states are facing. I want to thank Wisconsin's congressional delegation, and I especially want to recognize Congressman Dave Obie, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. Congressman Obie and President Obama recognized early on that states must be key partners in moving this country forward. It's clear a major stimulus package is going to pass, and the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is going to get people to work on new projects that add value to our economy. One of the major responsibilities we all will have in the coming weeks and months is being swift and able partners in the recovery plan. I have created the Wisconsin Office of Recovery and Reinvestment, and I am pleased to have one of Wisconsin's leading executives, Gary Walter, the CEO of MG&E, who has volunteered to head it up. We are sure that our partnership with the federal government in moving this country forward will be effective and responsible. We can repair our roads and bridges. We can raise the buildings for groundbreaking research. We can fix crumbling schools, find new sources of energy and clean water. We can improve our electrical grid, broaden our internet lines, and build rail lines. We will become more competitive and efficient in the long run and do it by putting people to work today. But the stimulus package is not the answer to all our challenges. It will not solve the state's deficit. And as we move toward recovery, we will do so facing tough decisions in this state. As hard as the federal government is working with us, this will be a time of sacrifice. It is a time when we will be responsible with what we have. This is not a time for big new programs. None of what's ahead will be easy. What isn't needed will be cut. And unfortunately, some of what is needed will be cut too. But that is tough, honest work. Staying even is the new increase. And for everyone who's looking for the state budget and wondering what will happen, please remember, that's my mantra. Staying even is the new increase. And my priorities are no secret. Good schools for our children. Affordable and available health care. Police and fire protection for our communities. These are basic expectations that people have of their government. A second grader is not going to be able to come back when the economy is better and pick up where she left off if we fail her today. An older person cannot check out of a nursing home and come back in a few years when the economy is better. There are basic needs our state has always met, and just as our predecessors met them in the most difficult times, we have a responsibility to meet them today. My parents were educated in Wisconsin public schools at a time when this country was going through its greatest depression. My mother went to high school in Wausau, my father in Oshkosh, and no matter what I ever did, in their minds, I never could get to an educational institution that matched Wausau or Oshkosh High. Stanford, University of Wisconsin, Madison, Harvard Law School, none of it ever measured up in their mind to Wausau or Oshkosh High. But the lesson I learned was that their parents, that had almost nothing, were willing to invest in good public schools and a good university system, even in the middle of the Great Depression. And just as that generation met that challenge, that is the challenge we have before us today. It is a difficult time, but these are a moments of challenge and even opportunity. They take the measure of who we are. They force us to face hard truths and make gut-wrenching decisions. They help us clarify what is most important to us, and they leave us with no easy way out. Next month, I will stand before you to deliver a budget that will determine our course for the next 2 years. And I am not going to say that education funding is off limits, but I will not allow cuts that ruin the quality of our classrooms or make universities and technical colleges out of reach for working families. I am not going to say we won't make reductions in Medicaid, but I will not allow cuts to undermine our ability to get a sick kid to a doctor. We may have to do more with less, but I will not allow this state to abandon its efforts to create jobs and make Wisconsin a great place to do business. And let me be clear about what we must never lose sight of. For many, the most serious consequence of the economic collapse is not the budget deficit Wisconsin or any other state faces. The worst consequence of our country's economic condition is that through no fault of their own, many of our best workers here and across the country have lost their jobs. It means that highly skilled men and women, who months before were the foundation of leading companies, are suddenly unemployed. Behind unemployment numbers are real families who have built their lives around jobs that are now gone. This year I met with many of the Janesville auto workers who had built their company's best product at its best manufacturing plant. They were for decades the heart of the company that they worked for. Now they are some of the people we have to think of as we rebuild this economy. Let me introduce to you four Janesville assembly plant workers. Four workers our economy needs: Lynette Holden, Jim Corbel, Todd Bryan, and Leo Carrillo. These four people and the people they worked alongside for all those years at the GM plant are the very best that Wisconsin has to offer. And we cannot squander the abilities of our most valuable workers as we wait for the economy to get better. We need to rebuild strong Wisconsin businesses that can put people like Lynette, Jim, Todd, and Leo to work. For us to succeed, we have to find ways to innovate, and we have to find to do more with what we have. We can never doubt that that great possibility is all around us. I want to recognize someone who exemplifies that spirit. Someone who shows how creativity and hard work can provide us with more than we thought possible. I'm going to introduce you to someone who saw urban Milwaukee as an unlikely center for agriculture. Someone who has found a way to raise fish and fresh vegetables in a homemade ecosystem, alive and thriving on the north side of Milwaukee. Members of the Wisconsin Legislature and citizens of Wisconsin, here is the latest Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant winner, a former professional basketball player before he hit the big time, Will Allen, the CEO of Growing Power. If any of you want to visit one of the most amazing places in Wisconsin, call Will and have him give you a tour. He has taught kids how to garden. He has grown fresh vegetables in the inner city of Milwaukee. He has done incredible things, and he has been recognized by the MacArthur Foundation. Let me recognize another innovator who did more with what he had, who saw more than just a cheese processing plant at the crossroads of a small central Wisconsin town. This is someone who took the leftover ingredients of cheese making, whey permeate, and found a way to turn it into renewable fuel. He then set up a local distribution network for his cheese-based ethanol. I am proud to introduce Joe Van Grohl. Joe? You know, people all over the world know the quality of our cheese and they eat it. They also know we're a little crazy and that we wear cheese on our heads when we watch football games. But they are soon going to learn that we will be the first state in our country that actually drives our cars on cheese as well. Creativity, ingenuity, and innovation have always been behind the hard work that allows us to meet our challenges. Let's not forget to think in new ways as we work to protect Wisconsin's values, rebuild jobs, and lay a foundation for growth. What's ahead is a challenge for all of us, Democrats and Republicans alike. No one gets to sit on the sidelines when there are people in Wisconsin out of work. Our responsibility during this time is too important to ignore, too important to write off as someone else's problem. I need every one of you to be involved and committed to moving this state forward. Sometimes the easiest vote in the world is no, and the easiest position is to stand apart from the solution. Well, as you all know, that's not what anyone here got elected to do. The last thing the voters want from the legislature is partisan bickering and inaction. And the great thing is that our best accomplishments have come when we have worked together. Clearly, there are tough times ahead, but let's remember what we have been able to do together just in the last year. First, we made a simple promise to families in this state. Any child in Wisconsin can get health insurance through Badger Care Plus. Some of you guys voted for that. You could have stood up for that one. 100,000 new people signed up for Badger Care Plus over the last year, and more than two-thirds of them were kids. By the latest measure, we are now number two in the country for health insurance coverage. And tonight... And tonight we have someone who enrolled in Badger Care Plus. She is expecting a baby this spring, and after she graduates from the University of Wisconsin Medical School, she will start her residency this fall in emergency medicine. Let me introduce Sherry Bensick. Sherry. Sherry, you're really going to have your hands full, and we wish you the best. Second, after an effort that spanned many years and involved eight states, two Canadian provinces, and our federal government, we have ratified the Great Lakes Compact. Lake Michigan and Lake Superior define our state in so many ways. Our history, our recreation, our commerce, even our borders. Now we have acted to protect these tremendous waters. Thank you to Senators Jauch, Miller, and Kedzie, Representatives Mason and Gunderson for your work on this accomplishment. Third. Third, we launched a Clean Energy Wisconsin plan that includes many new efforts to spur innovation and free us from foreign oil. We committed to conservation, to look at new sources of energy, and to make our existing utilities cleaner. There are many other accomplishments this year. The UW growth agenda got underway, creating more opportunities for our citizens to go to college. Because we renewed the stewardship fund, we added 21,000 acres into conservation programs in 2008, providing more ways for people to hunt, fish, and recreate in the great Wisconsin outdoors. We made We made major progress toward making sure four-year-old kindergarten is available for every parent to choose. Our utilities will burn cleaner and on their way to reducing mercury emissions by 90%. We forged a new collaboration among our top medical institutions to begin providing individualized treatment based on a patient's DNA. We hosted the World Stem Cell Summit and brought together top scientists and investors. And we made our state home to part of the Olympics if the 2016 Games come to Chicago. And we responded heroically to floods that tested us this summer. Our rescue workers acted swiftly. They kept people safe, and we avoided what could have been a tragedy hundreds of times over. As we take on the challenges facing our state in the coming year, there are important steps we can take to save lives, improve our health, and make our world safer. First, we can make sure kids with autism get the treatment they need. Private insurers should cover autism. The treatment has been proven effective, and families deserve the right to see their children improve. Second, we can make sure all our public places are smoke-free. Four other states have done it. Dozens of our communities have done it. Let's not be dragged kicking and screaming as the 48th or 49th state to do it. It is time for Wisconsin to take a step that improves our health, saves lives, and helps people to break the addiction to tobacco. We need to put kids first and make sure that their child care is accountable and up to the highest of standards. There are clear steps that we can take to rate those child care providers, to let families know who are the good providers and who aren't, to give parents the information they know, and to make sure that people are using the system for the reason it is supposed to be used, which is to make sure that kids are getting good, high-quality child care. It is also time for us to confront the problems of drunk driving in this state. Let's work to allow law enforcement officers to set up controlled, reasonable sobriety checkpoints. We can pass legislation that will take drunk drivers off the road by making the third offense a felony. And we can do our part to address climate change and the way we use energy. My global warming task force over the last year put together a comprehensive and reasonable set of actions to be taken. We can build jobs and help our planet by cutting greenhouse gas emissions. Thank you to Senators Mark Miller and Jeff Plaley and Rob Coles, and Representatives Spencer Black, Jim Seletsky, and Phil Montgomery for your work on this important front. We can change school funding in a way that encourages the hiring and retention of good teachers, provides for high standards, and encourages efficiencies in our school districts. We can take these steps to make sure our kids get a great education. Our future will depend on how well we can work together. But if we ever doubt, our ability to bridge our differences for the common good, consider what others in Wisconsin have been up against. Through historic challenges, we see the resolve that makes Wisconsin great. Next month, the National Guard will begin its largest deployment ever of Wisconsin troops. More than 3,500 men and women will be called up to serve in Iraq and Afghanistan. To them and to all their fellow members of the military and their families, our debt and our gratitude is enormous. Let me introduce three great members of our National Guard who have served overseas. Sergeant First Class Ron Adams, Sergeant Alan Robertson, and Staff Sergeant Jarrett Nelson. If our National Guard soldiers can go to Iraq and Afghanistan for a year, we can get through this budget and do the right thing here. We thank you for your service and the service of all your fellow soldiers who deserve all of our full support. And that I am glad in Wisconsin, we have made sure that any veteran receives a full tuition reimbursement. After a record amount of snowfall, the southern half of our state was flooded by spring storms. Never before had we seen so much rain. Whole farms stood underwater. Rivers rose past bridges, over dams, and through entire towns. The floods were the costliest natural disaster Wisconsin has ever faced. The weather was so severe that in the Wisconsin Dells, it meant a whole section of land gave way, emptying Lake Delton. The entire country watched houses float down the Wisconsin River. In the aftermath, it would have been easy to look across an empty lake bed, flooded fields, and impassable roads, and figure it was all just too much to handle. But that was not what was in the hearts of those who, as the rain continued to pour, stood with their neighbors filling sandbags. That was not in the hearts of those who opened their homes to those who had lost theirs. That was not in the hearts of the farmers who replanted and the people who rebuilt. It is in that spirit that just 6 months later, against all odds, Lake Delton is refilling. A vital piece of our tourism economy is going to be back this spring. And all across the state, we have recovered from this disaster. Here in Wisconsin, our spirit cannot be doused. And speaking of water and heroics, we recently saw a Wisconsin citizen do something that ought to inspire us all. Not only can we rise above floodwaters, it turns out that we can land safely on ice-cold waters. 2 weeks ago, we all watched a U.S. Airways flight land in the Hudson River after birds struck the plane, killing both engines. Somehow, through cool thinking and decisive action, the pilots were able to land the jetliner in the freezing river almost immediately after taking off. And all 155 people aboard the plane, passengers and crew, made it home that same day without any loss of life or serious injury. I am proud to have someone here tonight with us who lives just 10 miles away. In fact, I learned we lived in the same neighborhood for a number of years in the west side of Madison. And he lives now in the Village of Oregon. The co-pilot of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, Jeffrey Skiles and his wife Barbara. Jeffrey, your heroism and the heroic actions of your fellow crew members have made all the difference in the world for your passengers and all of their families. Thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I know who we are. We're Badgers. We don't shy away. We stand up. We don't withdraw feeling sorry for ourselves. We get up and fight. We work even harder. We don't point fingers and fall into small-minded bickering. We pull together, share the sacrifice, and move forward. We don't forget those who have been hardest hit. We look out for our brothers and sisters who may need help the most. We are Badgers. Thank you, everyone. And on Wisconsin. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Bob.